Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 106. Here is another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Caller, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, Troy Caller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Hey guys, thanks for joining. This is going to be a lot of fun. What's happening around the studios this week? What's happening?
I was a guest on this week's episode of the Presentation Boss Podcast. That's, not sure if I mentioned that last time, but that's an Australian podcast, one of our competitors.
Cool.
So that launched today. And I'm also speaking this afternoon at the Mirren Live Conference, which is a big conference for creative and marketing agencies on how to present and pitch remotely. And we've got a bunch of, other design work pouring in, is cycling in and out as always.
Cool.
Very, very cool.
What are you doing, Troy?
So Nolan, Sandy, so Nolan was, to the whole audience of the Presentation Boss, Nolan is the accent, the foreign accent.
That's correct.
Now you know how it feels. How about you, Troy?
Pretty exciting stuff. I mean, been working nonstop for the past, it seems like 4 months, 5 months now, on kind of retooling for the virtual meetings and kind of making what we've always done in the behind the scenes area a full-fledged offering. More meeting contracts. I just got another one yesterday, so I'm pretty excited about it.
Wow.
And this one's a very large, I can't talk about this one, but it is very large. It's global. I have presenters in, I think, 19 countries. Wow. Logging in. And so a lot of time zone elements to coordinate. And ultimately those mean more creativity and design for the team, because that's all we really want to do. So,
yes.
we get to facilitate everything, but this one has a large exhibitor booth, element. So we're working with the companies, or we will be working with all of them, helping them design out their virtual booths and providing design services there. It's pretty exciting stuff.
What platform are you using?
So that's an offering. Everybody's like, where's that on your website? We're like, well, you don't really list that because I can't afford just everybody calling, to be very honest. Right. We have four basic platforms. We use what we call Zoom Plus. We do manage Zoom meetings. We do them very well. We're not actually enhancing it. We're just managing it. So we just call it Zoom Plus. We're getting a little bit more. We have a very large conference platform. That's one that I white label. It's got more coding than we could put in place. Okay. Not quite as much design elements, but man, it can hold a conference of 8,000 and have, that's what this particular one is going to be on.
Cool.
An amazing amounts of attendee interaction, amazing amounts of exhibitor interaction, multiple speaking sessions happening simultaneously. We provide still all of our same back end and port it into there. And then the big one is what we just call the TLC Creative Virtual Meeting Platform. So we have our own custom built online.
And are you still managing everything remotely, or are you going on site for any of these?
It's kind of an interesting, all of our stuff is for the most part remote. I'm actually heading back up to San Francisco for another meeting, which is a remote meeting, but all the techs are getting together in a studio to run it. So I think we have the two key presenters joining us on an actual real stage, but we're putting them out into the remote attendee world. And then most of our team is working remote this week and next week doing design work and remote remote rehearsals. But then Lori and I are actually driving up and we're being on site. We're the two, because we're easy to get along with because we're COVID compatible, I guess. we're actually being on site. Again, presenters are actually at the staging and the techs are at the staging, but all the audience is remote. So they're not even what I was envisioning as hybrid events. They're truly remote events with a local crew. Yeah. Nice. Things are changing.
Have all of your on-site conferences converted to virtual now? Or there's still some laggards?
Yeah, well, the ones
there?
That came back, a lot just went away. I mean, this year is so far down the path of down. It's, like everybody, it's a bad business year. But we're busy right now. I mean, we've got a lot going on. Everybody's got stuff happening. Nolan, what's happening? Nolan, Sandy. We heard from you. Sandy, what's happening with you? Actually, I know what's happening with you. Are you at home right now? Because, it's about time to be outside on the water, I would imagine.
Water, I know. So I'm just going to focus on the fun stuff. My highlight of the week is that we became boat owners again. We bought a boat on Monday and we took it out immediately. We store it. I don't know the boat language yet. We dock it in a marina in Hudson, Wisconsin on the St. Croix, and we just hop on and start driving. And so far we've only gone north on the St. Croix. We plan on going down south and hitting the Mississippi. It's a nice little diversion from what's going on in the world right now.
Wow. That is awesome.
Do you have Wi-Fi? Yeah.
We do in the marina. I will probably be buying a hotspot.
Gotcha.
That is really fun and exciting stuff. So, hey, I guess that means summer is here.
Well, if you make it over to the Jersey Shore,
sure.
Let us know.
All right, news, industry news, presentation stuff that's happening. What do we got?
Well, let me start with, which I think we need to make this a regular part of feature of our podcast, gentlemen, but we get listener fan mail, believe it
or not.
Yes,
we do.
Yes, we do. And so what I'd like to do is read a little snippet from an email that we got from Jerry Schlottfeld. She's with New Home Team, and she wrote us saying that she just loves our podcast. She's not a designer or a presenter, but she enjoys what she can do with PowerPoint for her own personal use. She says that the three of you professionals present it so well in a casual, relaxed way, and it is so informative. Please keep doing what you're doing. Isn't that just the best?
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. We love having you as a listener, and thank you for letting us know.
You be our spokesperson for that, because somebody's got to do it.
You're not pat on the back.
So we do get emails and tweets and LinkedIn messages and all that stuff regularly. So if you've got ideas,
ideas.
Just want to say you like something, that's great. But also if you've got ideas or questions or suggestions, send those on to us as well. And we should also mention, if you do like the show, the cheapest thing you can do is just give us a review on whatever platform you're on. That helps other people find us.
And review us, rate us, and subscribe.
Yes,
absolutely. Also, I mentioned in our last podcast that we were all anxiously awaiting the news from Microsoft as to our MVP status, and I'm proud to announce that we all three have been renewed as Office Apps and Services MVPs. We each received the award for our volunteer contributions in PowerPoint. Do you guys know how many there are of us now? 30-something, huh?
30-something. I have asked for the exact number. But
it's harder to do the counting right now because
we've kind of gotten all lumped into the big Office Apps thing, and they don't really break it out. I still say I'm a PowerPoint for MVP.
Yeah. So do
an MVP for PowerPoint. Because if you ask me anything Excel, I'm going to say I know how to make it look pretty, but I don't know how to do it. Actually, I've got a great guy I've been using to code. I don't know if coding is the right word. To build out a bunch of formulas, some more robust Excel files. I just finally found a freelancer that can really understand what I'm saying. Because I'll say formula equals this cell over here on this tab by this minus this amount. I'll give all the information kind of in what I call plain language, and this guy actually gets it. So I'm like, this is the keeper guy, because I'm not going to be the person answering the questions about Excel, but I will answer PowerPoint. So I still say that. By the way, I'm going to have fanfare running in the background. I'm going to edit in some cool stuff over that announcement.
That's
it's
cool.
A big deal.
It is. We are proud of it. We're very, very proud of it. So Troy, what kind of news? What's going on?
Well, this is news in the fact that I believe we all just learned this. So, I mean, we all just learned we are renewed MVPs. See a little connection, a little tie in there. But what do you call that annoying yellow bar that shows up under the ribbon in PowerPoint with notices like restart needed or click here to edit?
Annoyance.
I know, but it makes no sense to me, the name. So you go ahead, Troy, you tell us.
Well, thank you, Beth Ann Katz from Microsoft, a project manager there, who gave us a clarification. It's called the business bar.
Okay.
That's now the official name. I was on a meeting with Microsoft and I heard this and I'm like, wait, I got to make a note of that because I've always just called it the stupid yellow bar. It's really the info bar is what I called it, but it's called the business bar, which is a good name. So there, we've all learned something. Now the news has informed us.
The presentation summit is coming up quickly. It's coming up soon, August 10th through 13th. And it is all virtual, so anybody around the world should be able to join. It's also the cost is much cheaper, obviously, than than if you
and we can make it less.
Oh, that's right. We can make it even less. But if you haven't signed up yet, you can use the code PRESPOD, PRESPOD. That'll give you an extra $50 off. But for 3 days of a conference, it's really quite reasonable and definitely much cheaper than some other conferences. Certainly.
And it's just packed.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Gar too. Reynolds is keynoting. Guy Kawasaki is keynoting. I mean, just seriously, you guys, those two alone, I mean, not to mention Nolan and Troy and Lori and all of our colleagues, but those two alone, you know, it's a big keynote lineup.
Hey, Nolan, and it's the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, so it's 4 days, not three.
4 days. It's three. Okay.
Yeah. It's four half days instead of three full days, which I think is great for, it's what we're recommending virtual conferences do. We just don't recommend anything longer than 6 hours of live time because you lose people. People are...
And of course, if you have to miss something, everything's recorded. You'll have access, you know, and there are different tracks as well. And I think one of the big disappointments in the always and when this conference was live was you can never be in three places at once. Now you kind of can.
Now you can. I mean,
because you can always go back and review recordings later. So
on-demand playback is going to be a part of it. I know because I'm coordinating it. It's going to be awesome.
TLC and Troy are responsible for everything under the hood and making it all work this year.
Excellent.
I got one other news item, guys, and I don't know the answer to this one, but there was a note from Microsoft about a recent update that enables animated GIFs to play in EditView, which I think would be great when you're kind of designing your slides. Do either of you know about this or have you seen it work?
I saw something about it, but I haven't tested it out. So would you like click on it? And
I don't know. I actually was just testing before we went live. I was like, I threw three different anime GIFs from three different sources and they're all static. When I put it in show mode, they all work perfect. Mm-hmm. So there's a little note out there that says it's supposed to work. And it was as of, let's see here. If we go live, the 21st. So it would have been two update cycles ago. So I don't know. Okay. I thought it was news, but I can't announce it because I'm not seeing it work. If anybody has, send an email and say, I got it working. And what your build is.
I mean, that's a good thing because I've always, whenever I train and talk about the dangers of just pulling logos from the web, like from Google, I always say that, you know, there's an apocryphal story about people pulling a logo, which ended up being a GIF, dropping it into PowerPoint.
That's my story.
It's
my story. Yes. It's the Land O'Lakes logo, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. You talk about Land O'Lakes and I talk about McDonald's. What do you talk about, Nolan?
I don't specifically mention it, but I have seen the Land O'Lakes one. But then the story is once you put it in a slideshow mode in front of the client for the first time, it animates and you didn't realize that it's a parody logo that might offend certain people.
Indeed. Yes.
So just be careful inserting any GIF. Just you always want to make sure because you don't even know it's animated or not, right? Until
until you're in show mode.
Because a GIF can be animated or not.
That would be the benefit of this new feature that Troy is talking about. So hopefully, hey, that's smart.
Yeah, when I was doing training programs, I would always bring it up. And I had one go live and I still had the slide. It was a logo collage of all companies that this person's company had worked with. One of them was McDonald's. And it was not, it just was a distraction. So there's a slide of, four rows of logos, this and that. But one of them, kind of off to the side, was the McDonald's logo. So it's the golden arches. No problem, easy. But it was actually an animated GIF of, remember when they do the Monopoly game and the little, what's the Monopoly guy? Mr. Monopoly? I don't know his name, but anyway, I know he has a name.
The banker.
The banker. He would literally peek out from behind the M and then walk around to the front, wave, and then walk around the back of the M and disappear. It was novel, but this guy was talking to the slide for 90 seconds. So this thing was the only thing the audience saw was that little animated thing. And they, you know, he just totally lost his train of it and he just grabbed it. He's, you know, yeah, he didn't even know it was there.
What happened? It's the same thing, exact same thing.
Today's going to be fun. It is Ms. Johnson, Mr. Hames, and myself talking with you. We wanted to talk about resources we use as presentation designers, those things that we read and see that provide, well, you know, the inspiration, knowledge, insights that help us be better designers. And because everybody's kind of stuck inside and everybody's kind of in a quarantine situation, we know that people are exploring resources a lot more. I'm going to talk about a few that we've actually added over the past few months. So, someone in our group, I think it was you, Nolan, created a list of 7 categories: books and magazines, conferences, forums, online resources, podcasts, training, and information channels. So we each have our lists for each category, and it's going to be fun to learn from one another and see what we have in common.
And I'll just point out that, of course, this is not comprehensive.
Absolutely.
But we are going to try to hit some of the big ones. And when people ask us for recommendations, this is where we often send people.
And whenever possible, we've put links so that you too can access that information. So you don't just have to listen to us. You can go to the show notes and link to it.
I'll do as much as I can in the show notes. And I'm going to just say, my paper is all written from top of mind. There wasn't a lot of research, so it's not super comprehensive, but it's what my mind has in it. Nolan, what are we going for on the first category?
All right. So first category is training. People always say, you know, where can I go to learn about presentation, PowerPoint, keynote, whatever. There are not as many sort of comprehensive resources for this, for online training, as there should be. But the top one is going to be LinkedIn Learning. I think LinkedIn Learning, which used to be lynda.com, now owned by Microsoft, is just sort of the training place for all sorts of things. And I really like how they separate things out with courses and chapters within it. You can make your own playlists and all sorts of things. So they have a lot of good training on PowerPoint, but they also have training on Keynote, Prezi, and Google Slides. You know, just go in there and search, and you can that's really probably the place that I recommend people go to most when they're looking for just sort of technical nuts and bolts. How do I do this? How do I do that? If you are in Prezi, you can just go to Prezi.com. They also have a lot of training videos there as well. Yeah, I don't know too much about sort of larger places for Google Slides or Keynote. I don't know if Apple has any sort of a lot of training on their site, but LinkedIn Learning is definitely a place to go. It's a monthly subscription, and I think it's well worth it.
So, Nolan, you've talked about LinkedIn Learning and Prezi, and that's online training, but you are a trainer, and yes, you are a resource. So tell us, I think it's fair that you should include a description of what you do and how people can access training from you.
Well, I mean, I did training, on-site training for clients all the time, you know, half day, full day, 2 day courses, customized and for each client. I'm not doing that obviously, but I have started doing webinars for some of my clients on smaller topics. We'll get into YouTube. I do have a couple of YouTube videos up on some small things, but I don't have too much. Like I don't currently have any on-demand training on my site. May happen in the future, okay. So basically everything I used to train on has not completely transitioned online yet.
Got it.
Still in my head.
Okay. Well, so then there, you know, more specifically online, we've got Nuts and Bolts Training. That's, throw out the names, guys.
That's Camille and Taylor.
Thank you.
Taylor Kronquist and Camille Holden.
Absolutely.
Two friends of ours. Yeah. So they've got Nuts and Bolts Speed Training. That's fantastic training, but it's very specific and targeted. Do you want to sort of talk about that?
Well, it's based on a specific item that you want to learn. So how do you for example, you have a vertical photo and you want to fill it in a horizontal space. It's like tutorials.
But I think their overall focus is speeding up and efficiency.
Oh, you're right. It is. Absolutely. That's
well, and uncovering
hacks and
not common like better processes for doing things, which I guess is speeding things up. So it is. You're right.
But that is their absolute focus. That's why it's called speed training. Yeah. There's, of course, the Presentation Guild. There are always resources online, but specific to training right now, it's going on right now is the sold out boot camp. That is for those
sold out. Wow. Sold out. Amazing. Exactly. That's great. That's super to hear.
Absolutely. It's for those people who wish to prepare for the presentation specialist. That is the level one certification from the guild. So awesome, awesome training opportunity there. Imagine every day for the next 2 weeks, getting your PowerPoint fix. And that's what it is. It's daily training to learn more about being a PowerPoint specialist. Also, there are the Bright Carbon Masterclasses.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one.
Right. Yeah. I know, let's see, I'm going to look at their schedule right now. I know, for example, they have the Google Slides Masterclass, Advanced Visualization Masterclass. There it is. Productivity in Google Slides. That's on July 23rd. Remote Presenting Online, July 27th. Of course, you can tell a European.
Those are all free.
They're
those
all
are
free.
Just sign up and go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can tell a European owns this company if you look at the dates. It's 27 July 2020, which is, I believe, the right way. I think we do it wrong. Visit Bright Carbon. Again, if we can, we're going to put the link in the show notes, but a lot
absolutely
of good training
we'll be
there.
Yep. So let's see here. Training. So I'm going to start off with YouTube because YouTube has become... You got to do a little more sorting. So unlike Linda, well, it's not Linda anymore. Unlike LinkedIn Learning, where you know everything's of a high caliber, I've actually spent a ton of time on YouTube over the past few months. So it's probably been my go-to because we've been transferring. I'm used to working on corporate events where, you know, camera work and audio. I'll just go with the camera work thing. I'm used to having a full camera crew. I'm used to having hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment available. And now I'm like, okay, how do I make presenters, do-it-yourself presenters look good? That, you know, they have money. So I've been spending a lot of time with YouTube streamers and learning all their techniques and cameras. I actually just got another camera. It's right here beside me, one of the newer ones we just got, another Sony Alpha series and really awesome 10 to 18 millimeter lens. By the way, lenses cost more than cameras. But anyways,
yes, they do.
YouTube is a major training thing out there. I just used it yesterday. Actually, I was in Premiere going, how the heck do you do this one element? So I just quickly did a little search on YouTube, found some, you know, kid told me how to do it. I was like, thank you. We use Skillshare. For years I had a lynda.com account. And ironically, when it transitioned over to LinkedIn Learning, that's when I stopped using it. It's kind of funny. Not on the allowable things, I think, but we had a single login that our design team, like Lori and I, would share it. You know, we would log in. Well, LinkedIn Learning is now connected to your LinkedIn account. So you can't just have a generic login because it's tied to a person's, you know, individual account. So anyways, and Skillshare was just different. So we're currently on a Skillshare plan for, I think it's the small business has like 4 users can log into it. One of our designers has been going through a lot of, we're working with a different 3D modeling software now for models for PowerPoint. So I've been going through tutorials there. You know, TechSmith is another one. TechSmith has a ton of how-tos. They've got a very good library about a lot of video work, a lot of audio craft. I think they're a very good resource. Oh, you know what? How about the tutorials on my own blog, thepowerpointblog.com? I've got tutorials. You know, it's bite-sized learning, I guess you'd say, but tons and tons of information there.
There's a lot of great stuff on PowerPoint blog, tutorials and otherwise, just other information. So absolutely. What about podcasts? There's something called the Presentation Podcast. I think I like that one. But I mentioned earlier.
I'm going to endorse that one. I am. Yeah. It's on my endorsement level.
It's my fave.
The Presentation Boss Podcast is the one that I'm on this week's episode. That's down in Australia. And they're interesting. They rotate between 3 formats. I think I might have explained this. There, one format is an interview with somebody. The next one is they're covering a topic. And the third is they play a speech from a public figure and they critique it in real time. They keep stopping it and talking about it. So that's really interesting. In the DataViz world, there's well, they're podcasts. I don't know if there are tons of them, but two of the ones I like are Policy Viz podcast from John Schwabisch, where each week he's each episode he has a figure from the world of data viz on, and then Storytelling with Data is Cole Nussbaumer Naflick's podcast, as a companion to her site and book and whole operation over there. So that's also really good. Sandy, are there others?
There are. Now, the first one here was recommended. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, and maybe you two can comment on it, but it's Present Beyond Measure podcast with Leah Pica. Mm-hmm. It's the only podcast, as she describes it, that's at the intersection of presentation, data visualization, storytelling, and analytics. She runs it because she wants to empower data analytics, digital marketing practitioners with tools that are needed to inspire action and gain recognition through presenting insights. You know, everybody has problems. We have data. How do we portray that information succinctly and insightfully? So that's interesting. I should listen to that one. Have you guys had a chance?
I have not.
I'm actually on their website right now. I'm not familiar with this one. Thank you for throwing a link in there. No, I'll add this one.
I've heard of Leah, but I didn't know that she had a website or a podcast. And that's worth a subscribe.
Absolutely. And of course, there's Sally Zimney's This Moved Me podcast. She's been a guest on the podcast. She shares stories and insights and challenges from speakers who understand both the art and the science of what makes a good talk. So she's also a TEDx presenter speaker. Mm. I think, and we admire Sally immensely. I believe she's also presenting at the Presentation Summit this year.
Oh, I should check on that. Yeah, What Moved Me is in my rotation of podcasts. She is always infectiously fun to listen to.
She's a natural. And then finally, and here's another one. Seriously, I don't know how these got on my list. I must have done some research, but Fearless Presentations with Doug Stannard. And that's for those who want to be more poised and confident as a presenter.
Yeah. And there are other podcasts on just public speaking and things like that, Toastmasters and all that. But just type in presentation into your podcast and you'll find a lot of those as well, or speaking.
How about you, Troy?
Well, I'm looking at my podcast playlist, and really there's only one. Well, okay. There's two specific to presentation design, but here design related. So I listen to Build a Better Agency. That's more on the business side. I really like the information flow and just the format of it. The Deeply Graphic Design Cast is one I've listened to for years, group of three graphic designers. So you want to be in the graphic design space, but they're great. Obsessed Show, Design Matters with Debbie Millman has been around forever. Once Upon a Slide. I think you told me about that one, Nolan.
Did I? Is that a design or a presentation?
It's a presentation design, but a lot of it's the storytelling. Mm-hmm. I believe. Oh, now I'd have to listen to it. Are they British? They don't have an accent.
So Once Upon a Slide. I think it's defunct now. I don't think they're updating. But I think this was. I do remember.
I'm just going through the list of what's in
yeah,
there.
And then the podcast
shows up. The presentation podcast. Hey, you know, a side note on the presentation. I think I sent you guys this little notice. I get a little infographic about where we rank, and we've been in the. I mean, we're in kind of a weird category. We're in design, which is massive, and then we're in. We're in art, which is huge, because art includes all the speaker presentation skills. It includes everything art-based. And then we're in a smaller category of design, but there's nothing to niche us even smaller. And we've been in the top 200 in the U.S. for COVID, I guess, has been good for us, at least through the past. Do you remember what I told you? It's like three months we've been in the top 200 in the U.S. and we keep inching our way. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Obviously, telling people about us. And then internationally, we're always in like the top 50, which is really kind of cool. So we're doing good.
But aren't we like number six in Italy and
it's really funny. I get
Chile or Portugal.
Yeah,
or
that's what I said. You guys a little those because it's a snapshot based on that day, and it's really funny because sometimes it it has to be based on the right time because it'll be like 3 a.m. here when they do the demo, the statistic, and it'll be what would that make it 9 hours later? So early afternoon in most of the European countries, and they've got a bigger there'll be more downloads. It'll be just enough to bump us up. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Okay, another category. How about can we just combine websites, blogs, and newsletters?
Sure.
Sure, that makes it pretty big. I've got quite a few.
Everything you can look at and read.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. InDesign, that is our colleague Gitesh Bajaj's site. I mean, he is the first. Other than the PowerPoint blog, I believe.
Oh, no, he's been going way longer than me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was an inspiration when I was starting. Gitesh has, literally the history of presentation design covered in his stuff.
And I'm sure it has the widest readership, right?
Absolutely.
It must. Absolutely.
If you have a question about PowerPoint-related anything, you can go to the InDesign.com site. Gitesh knows everybody. If he reaches out to them and he makes sure that their information is on his.
There are interviews with everybody. There's articles on everything. There's just
absolutely
everything. Yeah.
Yep. And I mentioned Nuts and Bolts earlier. They also have a YouTube channel. So, visit that. It's as upbeat as everything else in real life. I mean, there is a lot of high energy there. Jude Barak, we mentioned this about a month and a half ago. She came out with a new newsletter that she sends out weekly. It's the Presentation Design Magazine. It's awesome. The Office Insider newsletter. I thought I had signed up for that. I don't have it coming into my mailbox. I must have decided that I'll just go online. But if you're an Office Insider subscriber or if you just want to keep up on Office updates, you can sign up for this weekly.
That one's on my list. I recommend it.
Yeah. I do subscribe to that, but I haven't gotten it in a long time. So I don't know.
It's a monthly that comes out monthly-ish.
Okay. Okay. I am going to brag up Mike Taylor. I have followed him on Twitter for years, but he is a curator of information. He's almost like a mini Gitesh in that way. There's just so much good information on the site. And he publishes that on his Twitter account and everything. But he has a newsletter of weekly snackable collection of the best from the world of learning. He's into e-learning. There's his website, miketaylor.org. You can follow him on Twitter at tmikeit. Good stuff. I've got Nolan's website on my list. I mean, he's got his goodies there, right? Presentyourstory.com goodies. That's your blog. Synapsis Creative has free resources. Most sites may ask you to register, but there are free resources. Synapsis Creative being one of them. And of course, Bright Carbon will give you free resources as well.
Yep.
Okay. These show notes are going to take me a long time, but they are going to all be in there. This is amazing. This is a great list. I'm looking at Mike Taylor's site. Thank you, Sandy. One of the first things at the top is our friend Dave Peretti. He's got a article from June. He's got a little bit of everybody in here. This is great.
Add Dave to the list. I mean,
He has great books and resources. Yeah, he's going to be under my book list.
I'm going to list off a bunch of resource sites too. But before I get to that, presentationguru.com is a site run by a couple friends of ours that has articles. I used to write for them. I haven't written in a while, but they got a lot of good articles on there, including one of my favorites I ever wrote, which was why you can charge $2,000 an hour for PowerPoint. So search for that there. But in terms of resources site, you mentioned a lot of great ones. There are, of course, the stock sites. We're not going to go into the iStocks and Noun Project and things like that, but more presentation focused. Duarte.com Diagrammer, that's on their site. Duarte.com is a presentation design site, but firm. We'll put in the link for one of the resources they have, which is a whole bunch of diagrams you can download and just start using right away for free in PowerPoint. Presentation Load is a site where you can purchase templates and assets and things, and I've used that over the years. PP Tools, right? Steve Rinsberg's site has, of course, some add-ins for sale, but also a number of free add-ins as well. So if you're looking for stuff there, you mentioned InDesign. Template Monster was one I didn't know about, but Mike Parkinson just turned that on to me. They have a whole bunch of different like HTML templates and things, but they also have PowerPoint, Keynote, Google templates. And then Troy, I've got the whole list for here. I'm just going to go through these quickly, but this is from my list of places where you can get PowerPoint, Keynote, and Google templates. Some for free, some you can pay for. Slide Model, Info Diagram, FreePowerPointTemplates.com, PPTemplate.net, MyProductRoadmap.com, SlideTeam.net, SlideGeeks.com, and SlidesGo.com. So there's a, and again, that's not even comprehensive. There are lots of places you can get templates. But if you're looking for, you know, a quick down and dirty template and Microsoft isn't cutting it for you with their defaults, you can go to try some of those places. Also, you'd mentioned a few designer sites with resources, firm sites like Bright Carbon and Synapsys. Design to Present, which is .com, which is Julie Terberg's site, has a lot of good articles and tutorials. Echo's Voice .com as well. That's Echo Swinford's. And Steffi Hogan has a site, presentationworkshop.com. So again, you know, a lot of these sites are not going to be massive, but they all have some resources and how-tos and tutorials that are worth bookmarking.
Oh my goodness. That's a lot. Do I keep piling onto this list? The only presentation specific website in my favorites is the Presentation Guild. And the PPT FAQ, which is like Yatesh, one of the longest running information resources for anybody in the PowerPoint world. And it's just got tons of resources.
I have to copy the code from that every time for what is it I do? Oh, when you want to reapply your Notes Master.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every time I have to go back to the site because I'm not organized enough to keep it on my computer.
Hey, you know, that's the reason I actually started the PowerPoint blog. One of the primary reasons was I just needed a place that I could actually reference my own notes. So the PowerPoint blog, which I started like years ago, was basically just so I could say, no, go there and look it up instead of me answering the same question. I do have several for design. So AIGA has good online information. They have several newsletters. Groovy Post is one I've been liking lately. It's Groovy Post. It's got some pretty fun design-oriented stuff. Hmm. I get a lot of email newsletters. So I don't actually go online and go to newsletters. I do have them come to me, and I like them because they're on my phone. Again, AIGA has several. I have several on remote presenting and virtual meetings, so they don't fall into this category. But like On24, good company out there. They have a lot of great information they put out. Canva has a really good design newsletter. TechSmith, who I mentioned earlier, has a great newsletter, email newsletter on Snagit and Camtasia. And they usually cross into other design and video technique elements. I routinely go to, are you guys familiar with Creative? It's blog with a Q. It's Creative Bloke.
No, I don't know what that is.
B-L-O-Q.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another one that I go to and I cannot remember. Oh. That's not the name, but
This one's bookmarked and I usually, you know, stumble upon it every week or so, or especially when I'm on my phone and just kind of those idle times. I do get both the Office, the Microsoft Office and the Microsoft Windows Insider newsletters. I find them very insightful as to what's happening in that realm. You know what I use, and Nolan, you kind of touched on this. I'm just going to say I use the Adobe Stock site, image site, because that's the one we subscribe to currently, and things like the Noun Project and others for inspiration. You don't have to be a subscriber to them to get in there and look at them. And it's not just for images. I'm usually looking for diagram layout ideas or banner or call out graphic ideas. And I don't necessarily need to download it. I just need something to say, oh, that's a great idea for this particular project. And then I can design it from there. Oh, you know what? I should probably list off my blog again because I on it almost daily, the PowerPointBlog.com.
Nice. There, you reminded me, I don't get a whole lot of design newsletters, although I think I may just have signed up for a couple new ones. But DesignTaxi.com is one that I get a lot just to stay on top of what's going on in the design world.
Next topic. Where are we at? Category.
Now we're into forums, help forums, and message boards. So this is actually an important one, I think, because mm-hmm. when you're really looking to get an answer to frustration or how do I do this or how do I do that, I probably the top one to go to is answers.microsoft.com. And that's obviously run by Microsoft, and a lot of the MVPs and other experts are on there trying to answer questions and get other users to jump in on that. You had mentioned PPTFAQ.com. That's Steve Rinsberg, which also is just sort of a historical storehouse of. It's not an active message board, but it has articles, and just if you search within it, and you're like, what do I need to know about resolution? You know, go there, and then you're going to find a couple articles explaining everything. But Steve also mentioned apparently there's a PowerPoint forum on Reddit.com.
Yeah, I'm subscribing to that. Really? I don't get in it as often as I would like to, but it reminds me, and Troy, you might appreciate this. It reminds me of the old newsgroup days.
I'm going to mention the old newsgroup. That's pretty funny. I'm just not a Reddit person, so maybe I should.
Yeah, not either. I guess I'm not that. I always feel like that's conspiracy theory land.
I'm with you, Nolan.
So if you want to find out, how the New World Order is controlling PowerPoint, I guess. No, I don't know.
Yes, it is a resource.
Okay. So yeah, and Steve said there's some pretty sharp people on there. Another couple things for maybe more technical or even programmatic aspects of PowerPoint, superuser.com and experts-exchange.com. Mm-hmm. are also a couple places. So like Experts Exchange, like I know Jamie's on there. Jamie Garok is on there a lot. So like if you're looking for how do I do this VBA thing, like that's where you want to go. Sandy, what do you got?
Well, there are the forums on the Presentation Guild website. So members can go in and ask questions and get them answered by the experts, as well as the Slack workspace. And if you're familiar with Slack, it's an instant messaging type of communications tool. All members have free access to it, and there are great channel categories, and you can go in and ask questions and get it answered. It's really, really great. And of course, there's the PowerPoint User Voice. User Voice is in place for users of PowerPoint to express gratitude and discontent with features of PowerPoint.
It's like
requests.
Like a lot of my family Thanksgivings. Gratitude and discontent. Go on.
It's hilarious. And you can learn stuff. You can go in there and make requests for improvements. So that's an interesting site.
And Microsoft does read it and does,
yes.
It's not automatic that they're going to, listen to everything and implement changes, but they have historically made product changes based on that.
Absolutely. And to emphasize that, even as MVPs, if we're on a thread in email or on Teams and we have a request or something's happening, they'll ask us to go back to PowerPoint and click User Voice.
Does anybody know if like Google Slides and Keynote and Prezi are on User Voice? I can't imagine that Google or Apple care so much about what users think. But Prezi,
I have never looked, so I don't have an answer. Okay. And you know what? I also don't think I really have anything to contribute to this list. Maybe just commentary. I'm going to show my longevity in the presentation industry, but in my opinion, everything has been downhill since Microsoft killed off the old PowerPoint forums that Sandy was referencing.
They were awesome.
It was text only. But it was full of talented people with no ads, no paid answer people, and no fluff. It was just amazing amounts of information. That's how I first pretty much connected with everybody that
are
my best friends in the world now.
John Wilkin and I started at the same time, and we kind of remember how you got awarded bronze.
Bronze, silver,
and then gold. And we.
This is before my time a little bit.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. It really was a global community brought into one little place, and it was all the geekiness of doing presentation design and hacks and PowerPoint. There are so many good resources. And actually, I started my blog after that pretty much went offline. I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I can't, because they actually eventually they left it up for, I don't know, like 3-4 years. You could search it, but you couldn't actively post on it. Mm-hmm. And when they eventually pulled that down, I had at that point started up my blog saying there needs to be a resource. I need to be able to find this stuff. Okay. I like answers a lot, although I do not find myself perusing it to answer questions like I used to in the old forum days. It has a lot of active users. It has a lot of paid answer people. So things get addressed pretty quickly.
Wait, it's really called Answers still?
Microsoft Answers. Yeah. Isn't it answers.microsoft?
Answers.microsoft.com.
Okay, I thought for some reason I thought they changed that. Okay.
Oh, that could be.
I don't go I on there.
Still
no,
have my
no.
link.
No.
You know, the other, I really like the concept of user voice, which you're talking about. The fact that I think we all routinely hear people at Microsoft reference it. I know at one point they actually had a live board showing what was happening on it on one of the large monitors in one of their office spaces. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, yeah, if anybody's out there and you want to talk to Microsoft, that is the most direct way for them to get input. They do reference it a lot. So I do like that one a lot. And Sandy, to your point, I'm on the Presentation Guild forum every few weeks because it's kind of going back to that old forum thing. It's really presentation questions by presentation experts or
and
people
users.
Working in it, yep. And users, and it's answered really great. I've started a few conversations on there like, hey, what do you think about this trend? And just getting everybody's input is great. So I guess I'm not going to add anything to list. I'm just commentating. Let's go on to the next category, Nolan, which was books and magazines.
Yeah, so books and magazines. So we're not going to get too heavy into this because if you want the whole list, go to episode 14 where we covered what's on your bookshelf. But that said, there's like the old guard books, I think, Beyond Bullet Points by Cliff Atkinson. Mm-hmm. We've had him on as a guest. Presentation Zen by Gar. Hey, we've never had Gar on. Get that going. There's an interesting book I kind of knew about, but I just realized you can download for free. And I admit I haven't read it, but do you know the book by Robert Gaskins, Sweating Bullets?
I downloaded that recently. So I've been reading it on my, phone thing. Yeah. It's pretty
very,
funny. Yeah.
It's very long, isn't it?
It's a real book.
Yeah.
It's a real book. Yep.
Have you read it, Sandy?
No, but I did years ago. I reached out to Robert Gaskins. I wanted to know the history of PowerPoint. So this is a long time ago.
We should have Robert on, actually.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
So the title is Sweating Bullets, Notes About Inventing PowerPoint. And if you can guess by now, Robert Gaskins was the inventor or one of the inventors of PowerPoint before selling it to Microsoft. So you can download, he's got an interesting website, robertgaskins.com, where you can download a PDF of the book for free. So I did download it as well. It's on my computer. I just haven't cracked it open yet. So that's an interesting one. We should try to get him on and Gar on, actually.
Absolutely. I'm in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sandy,
mentioned Old Guard, the Slideology book, which was groundbreaking and still is, Resonate. And Nancy does a lot of writing for the Harvard Business Review. Mm-hmm. The Bible of Template Creation and Design and Production, Building PowerPoint Templates by Echo Swinford and Julie Turberg. And then, Troy, Nolan, do you remember Presentation Magazine?
I was trying to think about it because that's Gitesh in the May.
I don't know who were the editors. I know Julie was a writer. Yeah. I consumed those magazines when they were published.
It was a physical magazine, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, it was phenomenal.
Does PowerPoint make you look stupid? Do you remember, Troy, I can visualize it. I can see that cover. It's a guy in a dunce hat. It was just, I loved it. Anyway, it's not around anymore. Somebody owns the presentationmagazine.com site, but it's not anything related to the magazine. But golly, I wish that were back. Troy, how about you?
Now I'm trying to think of the man. I've in the other room. I know I've got a few copies. A few old, out of print versions of it sitting there. I might have to run
collectibles.
Yes. So books and magazines. There are so few publications that focus on presentation. There are more books, but I'm always into technology, equipment, and design publications. So I'll just run through my current magazine subscription, or at least the ones I can think of right away. I jot down Wired, Forbes, Video Maker, Maximum PC. Uppercase is a great magazine. It is not a cheap one. Uppercase is a fantastic design magazine. It's actually, it's one of Lori's subscriptions that I routinely steal.
Never heard of it.
Pr- pretty much wants it back before I read it. So yeah, it's really classy, Nolan. You would love it. The layouts. I mean, it's a true design magazine, but it comes in a cardboard-esque sleeve every time. Wow. It's fantastic.
It looks fantastic. I'm on the site now, and I've never seen anybody do this, and it's amazing. You go to the site, and there's a picture of one of their magazine issues, and you think it's a picture. And then somebody starts turning the pages, not like in an issue flip or whatever, but really it's a video of them flipping through the magazine, which is, I don't know why I love that so much. It's just like, what's your magazine look like? Well, let me flip through it and show you. It does.
Did you search for, I don't even know what their website
is. Yes,
uppercase magazine.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Oh yeah, that's hysterical. Actually, that's the issue that I...
So I wonder if they do that every, they probably do it every
day. That I'm sharing with my wonderful wife, Lori. Right, it's over on her desk right now.
That's that's great. I'm going to look into that. You know, what we didn't mention are there any like tutorial books or, just technical books on how to do it? I used to recommend the PowerPoint Bibles to people, but they seem to have stopped. Like on Amazon, the last one seems to be Office 2013. So I don't think those are doing it. And then there's still PowerPoint for Dummies, but like if you go on Amazon, you can find things like that. But it seems like they've stopped printing them, probably because it just doesn't make financial sense. It seems like they've stopped writing
them. They're big, thick Bibles, aren't they?
Right. And mm-hmm. I used to have them on my shelf to review, but I don't think they're really, that's just not a world anymore, I think publishers are interested in.
I loved the step-by-step series. They weren't as thick, but they used to come with DVDs, CDs, whatever. You plug them in and learn PowerPoint. The new version of PowerPoint came out. I remember in the old days, I would devour those.
And I'm just skeptical of, 100-page book that says everything you need to know about PowerPoint. I'm just not sure about that.
See, I forgot to mention communications arts. It's a design.
Oh, that's another one. Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still out there. Still good. Yeah.
It is. And you can get, when you subscribe to it, you get the hard copy, which is just so nice to have, but you also get the PDF version.
Which is the one, now I'm going to, Communication Arts, is that the, one of the major design magazines just stopped. I don't think it was ComArts though.
Oh, I hope not. I've been getting emails from them, like they're running deals, so I kind of worry that they're suffering a little bit. No, they're still going.
Which is the one? I have to ask Lori. Which is the one we were, because we subscribed to me. Anyways, so there's books and magazines. I'm more on the magazine front. What's really funny is I thought during this whole downturn of being at home and stuff, I'd get time to actually read more books. I haven't even kept up on the magazines because I used to read magazines. I literally would grab one magazine per flight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, okay, I'm flying to there. I'll read a magazine, flip through it. I haven't been on an airplane forever. So therefore they're kind of piling up. Now I sit in the backyard and a little swinging chair and I read a magazine in the evening.
I'm notorious for buying magazines and not reading them. So
I get through magazines, books. I haven't had the time. Too, as much as I want. I really thought I was going to do more and I've done less. We've just been actually busier than busy. Okay. I think we got a couple more here, Nolan. What's our next big category?
Conferences.
That's Sandy, a big one.
Take it away.
Okay. Sure. Well, of course, Presentation Summit is near and dear to us. The next one is being held online August 10 through 13, correct?
Yeah. Less than a month from now.
Troy tells me that's 4 days.
That's right. And
four half days.
I don't know. If you subtract 10 from 13, you get 3. But no. Okay. I'll learn how a calendar works. What else?
Of course, officially online conferences, there's Presentation Ideas from Presentation Point. Troy, I think you've been a part of that, haven't you, in the past?
I have in the past. I haven't done anything recently. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely a good resource.
And then Ellen Finkelstein does an annual online speaker series. And so you can go to
That's the one I've been a part of. Sorry. And that one's really good. I think it's just tops because it's so low key and it's so non-commercial. It's real information. And a lot of it's from I'll just say a lot of the people you don't normally get to hear from, and it's just a really great event she's put on. I don't know if I saw one for this year, though. Did I?
I don't know if she did one this year, and I'm never sure when in the year it's given. But if you go to ellenfinkelstein.com, she also has tutorials and articles and other things as well. But
her blog's pretty good. It's pushing like you know, over 500 to 1,000.
She's got a following like you wouldn't
articles
believe.
Articles in there.
Yeah. Nolan, how about you?
The Click Conference, which is part of Creative Pro Week, that happened a month or two ago that I spoke at. So that went virtual this year, but they are planning, they've already announced next year to be in person in DC in March or April. I'm not sure, but you know, we'll see how the world goes, but they're planning on going back to in person. Also, it's not specifically a presentation conference, but Training Magazine Network has a very large conference each year, and there's a lot about obviously learning and presentation. Richard Goring, Rick Altman, Mike Parkinson all speak there regularly. So if you want to get a lot of e-learning and presentation stuff as well, that's something to look at.
I have not. I know they talk about it, but I've never thought about it.
And I'll be doing I'll be actually starting to do webinars for them as well. I think my first one is. I should probably promote that. I think that's when am I doing that? The 23rd, July 23rd. That's coming up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that'll be just a couple of days after this goes live.
July 23rd, I'm doing a webinar for I'm terrible at promoting.
Register now.
Training, but it's free. It's free. Training Magazine Network, using imagery like a pro. That's the one I'm going to be doing. I'm also doing webinars for Business Watch Network as well. All right. Just follow me on Twitter. I'll promote
Nolan's
them there,
a big person in the industry, if you didn't catch it.
Didn't figure it out.
Okay, but conferences is like a trick question because I'm at conferences as part of TLC Creative Services every week. But conferences I would talk about in the context of, hey, as a designer or presentation designer, what would you be interested in? The Presentation Summit is tops. The Microsoft Summit, the Microsoft MVP Summit is obviously an invite only, but that's one of the those two are the two events that I'll put on my calendar and say no to all projects during that time. Mm-hmm. I'll turn down active projects to attend those and be a part of them. I really like AIGA San Diego Y Conference. So AIGA is a national organization. They have several regional events. The San Diego one, obviously where I'm based. It's called the Y Conference. It's been around for over 20 years. It's a great design conference. It's mid-size,
you know, I need
a couple
to do
of days
that.
Long.
I've been wanting to go to the AIGA, well, national it's conference nice. And local conferences. For
they definitely
years.
Attract the college designers, so you get a little insight and fun of being in that kind of crowd.
Sure.
So the AIGA National Design Conference is also very well worth it. They're potentially going to a virtual environment this year, so we'll see what happens. Adobe Max and the Y Conference are both big conferences in the design field. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got.
Good stuff. How about social media or other kinds of channels? Nolan, why don't you start with that one?
Twitter, I guess. Okay. That's where I'm on mostly. LinkedIn. Sorry, I just blanked on that one as well. I really have to get onto LinkedIn more because every time I do post or somebody mentions me, it seems to get a lot more traction than I expect.
You know what? It's picking up that way. I know I've been trying to have more focus on LinkedIn. It's a business site and people who are trying to learn more about a specific, get specific information can find it there. So yeah, I recommend that too.
Yep. So those are the main places I'm on. I don't Facebook. I just keep for personal. I don't,
I know. I took the app off of my iPad. I just, yesterday it woke me up. The news was so awful that I just took it off.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I'm going to jump in. I'll let Sandy, you go right after me. So, because as you guys know, I'm maybe a little social media adverse or I just can't focus on everything. So Twitter, I don't do the Twitter thing. Facebook, we have a TLC Creative Facebook account. I didn't start it for the company. I approve the posts that go in there. I submit the photos over to one of our designers that coordinates it all. Thank goodness. Cause I try to get on Facebook like every 3-4 days. I just can't. It's overwhelming to me. But I do it mainly for, you know, family and getting in there. I don't have a lot of business context there. LinkedIn is a big one. I love reading articles there. And I love seeing things. And that's probably where I need to focus more. Does Microsoft Teams and Skype for Business, do those count as channels? I guess those are internal only. See, I don't even know how to define a channel.
You can't really follow Teams.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I use those as tools. I don't do the Slack, so I know Presentation Guild and others have Slack channels. I'm not really there. Discord, I know, is a channel, and I'm using it for business purposes. Hmm. And I've just recently realized how huge of an audience and ways of information flow and conversation.
I haven't heard of that at all.
Discord is like massive. So we're using it as a private behind the scenes tech channel for all the techs working remote. So we're using their push to talk feature. One of our designers is a photographer. She's like, oh, I'm on this photography group and it's got like 12,000 users, and I'm on this video editing group and it's got like 40,000. I'm like, what? It's mainly, I mean, it's heritage is gamers. So it's how gamers can talk to each other while live streaming their games or playing. And but it has so many other good applications. It just doesn't have a very businessy interface. But I know that's huge. And I can say I use it, but I use it for something totally unrelated to everybody else. Okay, Sandy, I know you're big on social media. You'll have some good channels to talk about.
Well, it's the normal. I'm big on Twitter, and not big. I use Twitter most often, and LinkedIn. Facebook is only for social. I have an Instagram page, but it's just like you, Troy, it's just a lot of work to keep up. So I don't use Instagram a lot, although it can be really, you know, our work is visual. So Instagram is a visual medium. It could be very effective. But of course, I'll mention again, the Presentation Guild Slack channel. You have to be a member to access that. The other one that I'll suggest is the DataViz Society. And that membership is free. So then you have free access to the Slack channel. I don't think that's changed, but those are a couple. So.
And is that it? Is that it for our
channel?
Think
that's a wrap on what we got to offer today. That's long.
And we're still not comprehensive, but that's a lot. It's a lot for Troy to put into the speaker notes.
It's a conversation about resources. It's not a how-to or a comprehensive list. So, hey guys, thanks for conversing. Let me wrap us up here. So the show notes, they will list everything we've talked about that I can find websites and resources for. There are 7 categories, and I'll divide them up that way as well. Nolan, Sandy, this was fun and funny at times. Thanks for spending a part of your quarantine day recording this podcast. Everyone joining us, stay safe, be inspired, take a few minutes and leave a review for the Presentation Podcast. It would mean a lot to us. And we will see you on the next episode in a few weeks. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com, thepowerpointblog.com, and Facebook, where we do post pictures of things and insights. And I guess there's not a lot of office photos because we have been in the office for like 4 months, but facebook.com/TLC Creative Services.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, for lots of free goodies and downloads. And if you're interested in training, online training, you can go to nolanhamescreative.com, drop me a line. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, rather, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is Sandy with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. I'm at the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
Also through the podcast website, you can contact us with episode suggestions, comments, or questions for the hosts. It would be great if you to mention us, leave a review, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And please, let other designers know about us. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated. New episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.